الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن يخرج من بيته مهاجرا إلى الله ورسوله ثم يدركه الموت فقد وقع أجره على الله، وكان الله غفورا رحيما. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected brothers and elders, all of us are well aware that we have entered into a new month and a new Islamic year. The auspiciousness of this month, the greatness or the sacredness of the Ashura day, 10th of Ashura, in most masajid we will hear on Monday night the importance of the day of Ashura. Just to mention the virtues of the fasting of Ashura, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَفْضَلُ الصِّيَامِ بَعْدَ رَمَضَانَ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمٌ. That the most virtuous of fast after the month of Ramadan is the fast of Ashura, or the fast of Muharram, and the hadith is mentioned Shahrullah, the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is a direct connection, or a special link, a special connection. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates certain things, connects certain things to Him. And obviously that brings the value and importance of that thing more outstanding. It highlights the importance of that particular thing, like how we have Baytullah, Rasulullah, Nabiullah. So the month of Allah, this shows how important this month of Muharram is, how sacred it is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the best of fasts after the month of Ramadan is the fasting of Muharram. Then particularly on the 10th of Muharram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, whoever keeps fast on the day of Ashura, the 10th of Muharram, يُكَفِّرُ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا, it wipes out the sins of the year that went by, the previous year's minor sins are all forgiven. Of course, for major sins, a person has to make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But all the minor sins are forgiven of the past year. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came to Medina Munawwara, and he had found that the Jews were also fasting on that particular day, and when he found out why, they said, because Allah ta'ala has saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and therefore out of gratitude we are keeping fast on that particular day. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed the Yahud, and he said, we will keep fast on the 10th, but we will add to it a fast. And he said, الْأَصُومَ مَنَّ التَّاسِعُ, if I have to be alive the following year, then I will most certainly keep the 9th and the 10th. And some riwayats have mentioned that Rasulullah said, add a fast to it, before it or after it, so we can keep on the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th. That is, on Monday and Tuesday, or Tuesday and Wednesday. So this is to oppose the Yahud. We have to be different. Even in our ibadat, we are different. So how more important it becomes in our other activities, our daily life, we should be different from them. Allah has blessed us with a pure and clean deen. Nevertheless, the details of Ashura we will hear on Monday night in the various masajid. But the importance of the Islamic calendar, we see that this is the first month of the Islamic calendar. Why is it that Muharram is the first month of the Islamic calendar? Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, when he was dispatched as a governor by Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, then he would receive letters from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, who was the Amir al-Mu'mineen at the time, giving him instructions. to do certain tasks. But as the letters would come, one after the other, sometimes it used to cause some type of confusion because there were no dates on the letter. So Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala would not know sometimes which letter came first and which one is second. Sometimes there is a command to do something, then there is a, it is cancelled, it is abrogated. So Sayyidina Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala then complained to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, we are unaware of which letter or which instruction is first, what we should carry out first and what we should carry out second. Therefore you should stipulate some type of date, fix some type of date. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala makes mashwara with the Sahaba. Various opinions are given. Finally, according to some riwayat, Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, and some riwayat say, even Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala had felt that the significance of the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst many other occasions in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were very important, very sacred, but the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was significant in the fact that it marked a clear distinction between haqq and batil, between truth and falsehood. We know that the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were persecuted in Makkah. They had to undergo so much of difficulties, so much of pain, agony, struggle. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after difficulty, Allah ta'ala gives them that ease. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a dream that he is making hijrah to a city which is full of date palms. And then the wahi comes, or the command comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you must make hijrah from Makkah and go to Medina. Now this was not a very easy task, although now they're going to be relieved from the torments of the kuffar and enemy. But to leave lock, stock and barrel, your entire belonging, all your possessions, everything now, you could leave behind and now go to Medina with the intention of never to come back again. And you don't know what is going to be your condition in the future. You are leaving all your belongings, all your possessions, imagine the land, the property, the homes, everything you have. And you will go out secretly and make that hijrah, because this is the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If one looks at the various incidents of the Sahaba, how they left Makkah, it wasn't a very easy thing, it was painful to them. For example, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala, as he decides to make this hijrat, and as he is leaving Makkah, some people come around him, the disbelievers. They say, "Oh Suhaib, where are you going off to? Ataitana sa'lukan, you came to us when you were a beggar, a pauper. You had no money. Fakathura maluka indana, your wealth grew because of us, when you are with us and we assisted you. Now you got so much of properties, you're taking all your coins and your treasures and you're going away to Medina very easily? Impossible. We're not going to let you go just there." So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala was prepared to fight them. But then he makes a deal with them. He says, "Okay, take all my belongings, take all my possessions, take everything that I possess, and let me make this migration." So they agree. When he meets Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam later on, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, "Rabiha bay'uk, rabiha bay'uk. O Suhaib, you have done a very profitable transaction. You have done a very profitable transaction." Suhaib was shocked. "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu, nobody beat me or came before me in this hijrah to you that could tell you what happened to me, because this happened to me and I'm the first person to come to you. Who informed you?" He says, "Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam informed me that this was had transpired with you. Because you left everything behind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with this transaction that you did." Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala was the first man to make the hijrah. Now he's leaving with his wife and child. It's a lengthy incident. But as he's leaving, his in-laws come and they say, "Wait, where are you taking our wife, our daughter?" So they pull her on one side. "If you wish, you go alone." He's got his little child on his lap. So his family members come and they say, "This child, this grandchild, we get the first right. It's our son's son. There is a battle between the both families, yet they are not Muslims. Both are fighting over the child, pulling the child on either side. Eventually, Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala has a choice, has an option. Shall I proceed? It is a command of Allah. It's the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I got to make this hijrat. I got to leave Makkah. I got to go to Medina. Shall I just remain behind and have my wife and my child with me? Or shall I proceed? And he wanted to be the first person. أَوَّلُ مَنْ خَرَجَ مُهَاجِرًا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. First person to make hijrat. He says, I will go and please my Allah and his Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umm Salama, for 1 year, one entire year, she used to come every day and sit at the spot. Perhaps my Abu Salama will come back to thee. Perhaps he'll return. She should cry bitterly. Husband is gone and they have taken the family, her in-laws have taken the child. She's sitting all alone every single day until one of the disbelievers felt pity upon her. And then they had escorted her with her child back to Madinah Munawwara. Uthman bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala. At that time he was not a Muslim. Later on he accepted Islam. The lengthy incident of he had the key of the Kaaba and how Rasulullah had given him the key of the Kaaba on the day of Makkah, a conquest of Makkah. Imagine 1 year she was separated from her husband and from her child. Or he was separated from them. Abdullah bin Jahash radiallahu ta'ala, he is going, he leaves everything behind. The moment he leaves Makkah, his entire house, all his belongings is usurped by Abu Sufyan. He's feeling the pain. Ya Rasul, look what has happened. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا تَرْضَى يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ, shouldn't you be happy? أَيُّعْتِيَكَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَارًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرًا مِنْ دَارِهَا. That Allah will replace you with a better house in paradise than what you left behind here. They did all this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this hijrat was a distinction between haqq and batil. It was a test to see the genuine love Sahaba had for Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very moving incident. It will bring tears to her eyes, but very lengthy. I will just give you the gist of it. She is leaving. Her husband at that time had not yet embraced Islam, and this laws of nikah were before the Islamic laws had come down. So to get married in this condition was permissible at that time. Abu al-As bin Rabi was her husband. And for some reason he had not allowed her to go across to her father and make hijrat. Finally, after some time, when he allowed her, and as she is leaving, the enemy come and they begin to attack the camel on which she was riding. When the camel falls and she falls off the camel, she was pregnant at the time, she aborts her child, she miscarries. This is the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She is in pain. Then the next day, her husband arranges for her to go to Madinah Munawwara. Like this, Ummu Ayman Baraka radiallahu ta'ala anha, that servant of the mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to care for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well when he was a young child. And he loved her dearly. He would call her, Ya Ummah, Ba'da Ummi. Oh, my mother after my mother. In other words, after Amina, you are my mother. And he would go and visit her. She was elder than Rasulullah SAW in age. It is mentioned, kharajat, muhajirah, samitah, mashiyah. She went walking, she made the hijrah from Makkah to Medina. She had no means. There was nobody to assist her. All alone she is making this hijrah. And today we move in luxury, in the taxi or the bus or by air. From Makkah to Jeddah or Jeddah Medina. And yet we complain it's so hot and this is not right and that is not right. It is impossible for us to imagine the hijrat of Rasulullah and the Sahaba. In those deserts and those rocky mountains that you leave Makkah and go to Medina. She goes, she is fasting. She is making this hijrat. It is said there comes a spot when she cannot move any further. She's almost dying out of thirst. Suddenly she sees a bucket from the sky, dalwan min as-sama, in which there was water. The historians, mu'arrikhin, write, she only takes one sip of that water, and she did not ever get thirsty after that in her life. But there was a lot of sacrifices. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was the only person. When he made his hijrat, then he came out with his bow and arrow, he made tawaf of the Kaaba, and then he challenged all those people around there, that I am making the hijrat. Anybody who wants to make his wife become a widow and his children orphans, come and meet me behind this mountain. Nobody dared to challenge Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He's the only one who was able to go out openly. The rest had to go secretly and quietly. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asked by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala several times, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me permission. I want to make hijrah, please. Nabi Kareem himself, no, just wait, wait, wait. لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يَجْعَلْ لَكَ صَاحِبًا. Perhaps Allah will give you a good companion. So just be patient. And suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is midday, absolutely hot, and he goes to the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala is a young girl. She says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never visit us on this particular time during the day, because it was absolutely hot. He would come in the morning or evening. We were surprised. My father comes out, Abu Bakr, Ya Rasulullah, what brings you here this hour? It's so hot. He says, Oh Abu Bakr, Allah has commanded me that I should make the hijrat. Allah has commanded me that you should accompany me on this journey. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala cried like a little child. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala says, I did not see any person crying like out of happiness than how I saw my father Abu Bakr crying that day. Cried out of joy and happiness that I am chosen to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this we see his ardent love throughout the journey. The manner in which he looked after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cared for him, he was worried. That Allah had to console him in the Quran. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. In the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appoints Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala in his place to sleep on my bed, in my home. What is the reason for keeping Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala behind? One of the reasons they mention is that the disbelievers had such trust in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They knew him as Al-Amin al-Sadiq before Nubuwwat also. And even after becoming a Nabi, although they were his enemy, they still trusted him with their belongings. They would leave by him the amanat, the valuable possessions for safekeeping. Now Rasulullah has to make the hijrat. What about all the amanat of these people he has got with him? You and I would have said, okay, they're not Muslim, so I can take it away or leave it behind and they'll sort themselves out. No. He teaches us the character, that akhlaq, which we forget. This is the enemy's amanah that he has in his possession, that he is looking after. So he tells Sayyidina Ali that you must make sure you give back the amanah of each person to its rightful owner. And therefore Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala had to remain behind. And Rasulullah gave him his green shawl to cover. And you know how Nabi Kareem comes out of the house at night. The enemy had surrounded his house, they did not even see him. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. Allah blinded them, they could not see. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even took some sand and sprinkled on their head to show as a proof that yes, he had gone past here, and they were so foolish that he could not even see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But as Rasulullah sallallahu takes Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who had prepared two camels long in advance for this, he just had this feeling that he'll have to make this hijrah, so he had two camels ready. So he was giving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a gift. Ya Rasulullah, this camel is prepared for you. Nabi Kareem said, no. Bal bithaman, I'll pay for it. Why? He wanted the full reward of this great event. The maximum reward for himself. He wanted his own reward. And therefore he purchased this camel from Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But as they leave Makkah, Nabi Kareem looks towards Makkah and he begins to shed those tears. And he says, Oh Makkah, you are ahabbul biladi ilayya, the most beloved of cities to me. If it was not for my people who have driven me out from here, I would not have left you. But nevertheless, he now leaves with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. In the books of history, we have read detailed explanation of this entire journey. How Rasulullah set out, how Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala would come. He was the shepherd working for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He would bring the milk for them. He would bring some, and then he would take the flock of sheep and cover the traces of the camel or of the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala was a simple person. He used to work for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. But respected brothers and elders, it is mentioned in one battle when he was martyred, when he became shaheed. The Sahabi who watched him becoming shaheed, he says, I saw the body of Amir bin Fuhaira radiallahu ta'ala being raised right up to the sky with such honor and dignity, and then it was lowered very gently. And he had heard as he was becoming shaheed, Fustu Allah, I swear by Allah that I have gained success. Allah showed him his abode in paradise, and Allah honored his body. Allah honored him, that Allah made the angels raise his body right to the sky and very gently bring it back to the ground. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was elder than Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She used to bring the food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she used to carry the food in a belt, a strap that she had, a belt which she broke into two pieces, and therefore Rasulullah called her Dhatun Nitaqeen, which means the one who possesses two pieces of belt or leather. She used to bring the food very quietly for Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. When Abu Jahal and party had confronted her, said, where is your father? Aina waliduk, aina abuk? She said, I did not know. She was not lying, she did not know exactly where they were. So Abu Jahal smacked her so hard that her earrings of her ear had fallen down. Imagine you are left behind your children. This was the sacrifices Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala had to undergo. And as they were moving, it is mentioned in the books of Sirah that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, suddenly he walks in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he goes behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's very anxious. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Abu Bakr, what's happening? Sometimes you walk in front, sometimes behind me. He says, when I'm behind you, I think, أَذْكُرُ الطَّلَبْ, I remember that now the enemy, they are searching for you. So perhaps they will come from behind. And therefore I'd rather be behind you, so they will harm me and finish me off first before they can touch you. Then suddenly I think, perhaps they are waiting in front, and they're going to ambush you. So I quickly go in front. Each time these thoughts would come, he'll go front and back. Nabi Karim son consoles him, don't worry. He says, Oh Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in qutiltu ana, fa innama ana wahid. If I'm killed, I'm just one person. But if you are killed, halakatil ummah, ummah will be destroyed. Finally, when they come to the cave, and Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where they seek refuge in their cave. But first, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes and he cleans the cave. From childhood days we have been reading this. Allah protects them in such a manner that there's a spider's web that covers the mouth of the cave. A pigeon's nest. When the enemy come right at the mouth of the cave, at the entrance, all they have to do is just look beneath their feet. They were above, cave was down. They just look a little bit more down, and they would have seen Rasulullah and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who was so worried. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this incident in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the two of them being in this cave. And he says, La tahzan, O Abu Bakr, don't grieve, don't worry. Inna Allah ma'ana. There's nothing to be perturbed and sad and worried and anxious about. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. When a person adopts the sirat al-mustaqim, when he leaves out sins, al-muhajiru, man hajara ma naha Allahu an, a true migrant, immigrant, muhajir, is that person now who abandons sins. All those prohibitions of Allah, he leaves it, he forsakes it, he abandons it. And now he's looking for, he's searching for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's moving in that direction, and that is a lesson for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that path easy for him. Yes, there will be obstacles, there will be difficulties, there will be a struggle, there will be a battle. But ultimately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it so easy for him to reach Allah Rabbul Izzat. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is sitting in the this cave, and Rasulullah has his blessed head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. And he has his two legs on the wall of the cave. There were two openings which could not be stuffed with any material. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala had torn a garment of his. And all the holes in the cave, he had closed up those holes, lest any insect comes out from there and harms my Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there were two openings that were still remaining. So he closed these two openings with his soul, with the soles of his feet. And suddenly we know the incident, and the scorpion starts to bite at him. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu bears the pain, he bears the pain. Until finally he cannot bear it any longer. And those tears roll down his cheeks and then fall onto the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who wakes up. Oh Abu Bakr, what's the matter? And then he explains what has happened. Nabi Kareem something, why didn't you wake me up? He says, I did not want to disturb your sleep. Nabi Kareem some places his saliva and he reads a dua and he places in the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and becomes cured. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Imam Mudar al-Hijra. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi is teaching the hadith lesson. He's teaching his Muatta. He's got thousands of pupils sitting with him. And suddenly they see the color of his face changing. Going red, pale, like he's being hurt. But he continues the lesson until he finishes the lesson. Then he removes his kurta or his jubba. And the students see a scorpion coming out, which had been biting him all the time during the lesson on his back. So they ask him, oh Imam, why didn't you stop the lesson? And we would have just killed the scorpion. He says, I thought of doing that, but the thought came of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, who had the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the head on his lap, and he did not want to disturb the sleep of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have got in front of me the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I could not disturb this lesson. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and then leave the cave, and they're still moving now towards Medina, when suddenly a person from a far distance is seen by Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. Again he is worried. And this is Suraqa bin Malik. Nabi Kareem looks at him, makes a dua, and they say he's the legs of the camel that he was riding, or the horse, suddenly began to sink into the ground. And he stumbles, he comes off the horse, goes back, again he comes, the same thing happens, two or three times it happens, until he realizes that now, this is something very serious and dangerous for him. He seeks amnesty from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, give me peace, spare my life. Rasulullah gives him that amnesty on condition that now he will not be an assistant to the enemy in showing them where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. He agrees. Ulama and mashayikh write that he came initially fi awwal an-nahar, in the beginning of the day, he came as a person who was going to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came as an assassin. He came to kill as a qatil of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But by the end of the day, he now becomes a so-called bodyguard and security for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem tells him, كيف بك يا سراقة? How will it be one day? إذ لبست سواري كسرى, when you will be made to wear the bangles of the king of Persia. فتعجب, he was astonished. Me, I'm going to wear the bangles of the king of Persia. Exactly was how the Rasulullah had prophesied in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and the golden era of Islam, when Persia and Rome etc. were conquered and the treasures of Kisra was brought. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala recalled the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He calls him, gives him these bangles, and then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi salabahuma min Kisra, Allah who had snatched these bangles away from Kisra, وَأَلْبَسَهُمَا, and he has given it now to أَعْرَابِيًّا مِنْ بَنِي مُدْلِجِ, to a Bedouin from Banu Mudlij tribe. A Bedouin who had no dreams of ever getting the treasures of Kisra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us his might. The army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the army that you and I would think of. So many bombs and machine guns and artillery. Allah used a spider's web. Allah used a pigeon's nest to protect His beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many other important aspects, but inshallah, if you read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, read the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Why are we depriving ourselves? There is so much of valuable information, lessons for us. Really, we will feel the closest to Rasulullah. We will feel as though the Sahaba are part of our own family. Then we will want to emulate them, imitate them, and be like them. We don't know the Sahaba. Then of what benefit is going to be when we quote the Sahaba? We won't know who we're talking about. We won't appreciate. We won't appreciate their statements. We won't appreciate their sacrifices. We won't appreciate how this beautiful deen has come to us. Read the stories of Sahaba. Read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gone and they reached Madinah Munawwara. In long incident of how they went to Quba first and finally come to Madinah Munawwara. And the camel is now commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever it sits down, that will be the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we had discussed this previously. Nevertheless, there were those who made this hijrat. Sahaba made this hijrat. But what about those who were not given this chance to make the hijrat? Or, when Makkah was conquered, then Rasulullah said, La hijrata ba'da fathi Makkah. Now Makkah is conquered. There's no question now of leaving Makkah and going to Medina. Because now Makkah itself has become a Darul Islam. There's no war taking place there. Now it's back into the hands of the Muslims. So now there's no question of hijrah. In other words, now any person who makes that hijrah from Makkah to Medina won't get that reward that Allah had promised Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba initially. So there were those who accepted Islam only after that. What do? They came to Rasulullah ﷺ. Yes, what must we do now? This is when Rasulullah ﷺ told them that, remember, listen. Nothing for you to be excited and become worried. Al-Muhajiru man hajara ma naha Allahu an. A true, genuine Muhajir, one who has to leave his hometown, the place of his origin and birth. He has to leave all the valuable possessions he has. And he has to go to another town. That is not a true Muhajir. Yes, he is rewarded, if not for Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But generally we talk about a person migrating from place A to place B. We say he's a Muhajir. A real Muhajir is that person who leaves his sins. He leaves all those things. He discards the prohibitions of Allah. He leaves those things and now he goes towards Allah. Towards obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is classified in the hadith as Al-Muhajir. A genuine, perfect, true Muhajir. Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha. Asma, this is Binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha. She comes with Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an, her husband, in the 7th year after Hijrah. They were in Abyssinia all the time. And they come after Khaybar expedition. Rasulullah was very happy to see Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala. In fact, he even said, I do not know, I'm so happy today because of Ja'far's coming or because of Khaybar becoming conquered. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala would taunt them a bit. And he says, we are more closer to Rasulullah than you people. Why? Because we were honored with the hijrat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We made the hijrat with him. So she could not take it. So she went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, Umar is saying that he is more closer to you because he was given the opportunity of that time, that period, that they made hijrat around the same time as you and they went to Madinah Munawwara with you around the same period of time. We came much later, 7 years later. Nabiya Kareem Sallam tells her, don't worry. They get the thawab of one hijrat. You people get the thawab of two hijrats. You made one hijrat to Abyssinia first, and then you made another hijrat to Madinah Munawwara. The hijrat of Rasulullah Sallam took place only in Rabi'ul Awwal. Then why Muharram? Scholars have written that at the time of Hajj, the Ansar had gone and they pledged allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this bay'ah, bay'atul aqabah, al-thaniyah that took place, this was in Hajj. And immediately after that, the intention, the decision was made, or the intention Rasulullah had made now to leave Makkah and go to Medina. And then he has started sending the Sahaba already to go. He himself only came in Rabiul Awwal, but because the hijrat, the intention was made already in Muharram, therefore Muharram was chosen as the first month of the Islamic calendar. There are so many other aspects we would love to discuss, but the time has already expired. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat to spend our time correctly throughout our lives. But these occasions of Muharram, there are many other customs that take place which find no basis in Sharia. Let us do what Rasulullah has taught us, keep the fast, and the 10th of Muharram we make tawbah and istighfar, how Allah Ta'ala has forgiven so many people. Make sincere tawbah and istighfar, try and change our lives now. And I mentioned last night, this is that time of the year where shaitan goes out full force. Whilst everybody else is going to go on vacation and holiday after a very strenuous labor and hard work in the shops and businesses, shaitan doesn't go to rest now. He's going to work even harder to lure us into temptations. And he wants to poison our minds and minds of our youth and spoil our lives into filth and haram. And therefore, let us remember this lesson of the hijrat. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah.